hope we all long for the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit among us. I think this morning we had a taste of it, but God, I believe, has more to show us and to demonstrate to us. Hallelujah, because this isn't just a meeting. We've come to worship the Lord. We've come to hear him speak to us. We've come to experience the power, the anointing of the Lord, personally and in our midst. Indeed, with the children as well. Will you turn Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17? Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. You know, the Apostle Paul could have good reason to be ashamed of the gospel, because for many people, and indeed many people living today, they'd say, well, the gospel hasn't worked for you, guy. You're in prison. You're in chains. You've been beaten. You've been stripped. You've been shipwrecked. It hasn't worked for you. But Paul had an understanding of the gospel which I pray each and every one of us will have. Have that experience and have the power of the gospel really made known to us. Because Paul is saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. Again, this is the Apostle Paul as inspired by the Holy Spirit. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Everything else is rubbish. Everything else is dross compared to knowing Christ. Is that your testimony? Is it? Is this your testimony? Is this my testimony? Hebrews chapter 2, our third reading. Hebrews chapter 2. I wonder why God had you here this morning. I wonder what he's going to do for you, for me, this morning. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And I know I preached on this maybe a couple of years ago when we were worshipping Desmond Anderson School. He's not ashamed. I can't get my head around that. You know, I'm ashamed of myself at times, and, you know, we can, well, if people could understand all what's going in our head and at times and the things which we are like when we're on our own. Almighty God is not ashamed to call you and me as Christians his brother. That's amazing, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. Saying, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you, and again I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. This is it, friends, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, friends, I don't know if you're in fear of death. I guess most of us perhaps sometimes think about the process of dying that perhaps does fill us with some concern and fear. But the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is not saying about the process. He's talking about the actual death, the when we actually depart this life and either go to be with Jesus or go to the other place. And what he's saying is that, hey, if you're a believer, if you've made your peace with God, if you've accepted this incredible, amazing sacrifice, you have no fear of death. Hallelujah. And that's what God wants you to know this morning. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to give us the freedom and the liberty to enjoy life in the Spirit, life in Christ, and life forevermore. So there is no fear in death, because his perfect love has been given to you to cast out, to drive out the spirit of fear, the spirit of timidity, and so on. But it may not be, and I pray if there's anyone here who actually is thinking, well, I'm not looking forward to death because I'm not quite sure whether I'm going to be received by Christ, I pray before the end of this meeting, God would have revealed himself to you in love and mercy, that he would have revealed to you his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you will be able to respond and say, it was for me. He hung on the cross to take away my sin, to take away my guilt, to take away my fear, to take away my rebellion, to take away the sins of my past, those things which have been put on me by others, the curses of the past. He's come to set me free. Thank you, Lord, that you'll know true repentance and a true softening of heart, so that you leave this place having no fear of death, because you're the Lord's. The Apostle Paul says in another place, for me to die is gain, is better. But there may be other bondages, there may be other fears. You may be trapped in your past. This morning, God wants to break you free. Lord, will you speak to me, please? Will you manifest your presence here? Let me tell you, sin is our deepest problem. Hey, Jim, you're talking to a church folk. No, sin is our deepest problem. It is. Sin is our deepest problem. It is. If I were to reflect on the problems of my day, I might be thinking, oh yes, you know, finance, my car, my health, my reputation, but sin, by its very nature, is more often quiet and secretive. Sin, by its very nature, is more often quiet and secretive than loud and public. It was referred to in prayer. Someone who's prominent on Christian TV, he describes it as a moral failure, but he has fallen into adultery, he's fallen into sin. We pray for restoration. We pray for God's mercy. We pray for true repentance. We pray for those in the family who are deeply impacted, whose lives, perhaps ministry, has been turned upside down, but that they will hear God speaking, that they will not ignore what God is saying, but that he will also come with healing in his wings. That's prominent. That's out in the open. But what about us? What about us, friends? For every overt episode of temper, there are dozens of jealousies, manipulations, perhaps even white lies and malicious thoughts or lustful thoughts, none of which immediately register on the conscience. It's only what perhaps other people see. But the psalmist said, those hidden sins, Lord, those things which you see, help me to repent of, and that I will no longer be in subjection to them. Those addictions, that I will no longer be in bondage to them. You see, according to Scripture, the greatest sin of all is even more covert, that I do not love the Lord my God with my whole mind and heart. And if our failure to consistently love and worship the true God is the key feature of sin, then we're sinners all. Friends, when we recognize our sin, our failings, our shortcomings, and see them as God sees them, nothing is hidden from him, we will run to him. We will run to him as the prodigal son when he realized, hey, I've sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be in my father's household, be known as a son. But the father was reaching out, rushing toward him, saying, my son, I'm going to have a feast. I'm going to have a feast. I'm going to have a party because you've repented. You've come to your senses. There's God's heart today. The psalm that was read, Psalm 51, it's against you, you only have I sinned. God knows what thing you're harboring, which this morning, if you're willing and humble enough, God's going to break and set you free. A friend told me just very recently, talking about the manifest presence of the Lord, talked about a 20-year-old girl. When she was a young girl, she saw her father have an awful stroke, real season. He never recovered from it, but she actually witnessed the power, the life go out of him. Ever since that day, and she was quite a young girl, she suffered from depression. She was on medication. Actually, she had suicidal thoughts when she got into her teens. This is a true story. She cut herself. She wanted to take her life. At the age of 20, and this is about 18 months ago, at the age of 20, she was in a gathering such as this. She came to church. Her family were Christians. She came to church. And in the praise and worship, the glory of the Lord, the presence of God, the manifestation of the Spirit of Christ just came and set that girl free. And for 18 months, and I've checked up on this, for 18 months she's not had a suicidal thought, she's not on any medication at all, she's been set free. Friend, that's what the Lord wants to do for you. You may have thought, I'm not sure why I've come to this place this morning. But God loves you. and he sees the hurt, he sees the pain, he sees the struggles. And yes, it may be something that someone else has put on you and you can't escape it. They, as it were, spoke a curse or negativity when you perhaps were small, when you were younger. And as try as you can, you've not been successful. You've not broken free. It's held you back. You're a prisoner. Today, God wants you to be free. We also have to recognize, again, I say this, friend, sin is our core problem. We can blame others, but sin, hardness of heart, doing our own thing, not worshipping the Lord as we should do. You see, if sin is no longer the primary problem, this loses its impact. It does. Because we know we need the grace and the mercy and the love, the pardon of Jesus, we recognize, hey, this is amazing, absolutely incredible. The He who flung the stars in space wants to be able to forgive me and welcome me back and give me freedom, set me free, to raise me up. So I don't have to walk around with my head bowed or deny that I've got this problem, deny that I've got this addiction, deny that I've got this willful sin. I can walk free today because God loves me. We need the manifest presence of the Lord. Friend, if any of you have loved darkness rather than light, and at one time we all did, but if at this moment in time you're still preferring darkness to light, I pray God will have mercy on you and that you'll come crawling on your knees out the front here to receive the love, the light, the forgiveness, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you're truly repentant. Because if you're loving darkness, if there's sin in your life, if you've not broken free, is there something you're holding on to? You're loving darkness, and darkness can have no fellowship with the light. But He's willing you, He's willing me this morning to come to the light. Oh, you've hid, you've sneaked, you've blamed, you've manipulated, you've controlled, you've avoided, you've changed the subject. You've rationalised. You've given your word, then not done it. You've lied to yourself. God knows. Nothing's hidden from Him. But today is your breakthrough day. Hallelujah. So once I turn back to the scripture that we read at the beginning, the power of the gospel, Romans chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The power, how critically important it is to have the manifest presence of God here in our midst. And before I'm misunderstood, I'm not talking about specific manifestations, nor am I talking about how we respond outwardly to the Spirit's presence. I'm talking about the people of God having a life-changing encounter with the living God as He moves in our midst. Hallelujah. Over the course of the years, my walk in the Lord, and I've been saved when I was 26 years old. Over the last, 10 years or so since then, there have been times when a personal breakthrough seems so difficult. I'll be honest with you. There was times when a personal breakthrough in my life seemed so difficult. And yes, I had besetting sin that seemed so hard to resist. And the step of obedience that I knew I had to take seemed so impossible to take. And I knew an experience in a worship service when the Lord broke through, broke my stubborn heart of rebellion, and saw that sin as he saw it. And it was hideous, and it's what caused him to go to the cross, and I was still lapping it up. When the Lord's presence takes hold of you in a profound way, suddenly that sin, that habit, that addiction, that hatred, that anger is gone. That seemingly impossible step has been taken. And you know, it wasn't hard at all. It wasn't hard at all. I've witnessed breakthroughs in gatherings. I've seen repentance. I've seen healings. Suddenly, lives are transformed. Instantly changed. This is what happens when the presence of God is in our midst. Friend, why can't it happen today? Is he not the same God? Are you not desperate enough for him? Desperate enough to flee, as it were, from the bondage and the frustrations that you live with? Those things which you used, the mechanism that you've got in a habit of using to control other people. I think it's time for Satan. Yes, worry, fear, worry, anxiety. Some of you are, and we've spoken about this before, and I know there's been one or two here in this midst who God has done something wonderfully in the whole realm of worry. I know that. But there's still some where it's just such a habit, you've got used to it, you accept it, you even boast about it. You don't see it as Christ sees it. We all get anxious. We can lose peace. We get anxious about it. I'm not talking about that type of anxiety. I'm talking about where worry, we're so negative. We're actually in Satan's camp rather than the Lord's. Do you understand? I was really, really struck yesterday. I think it was in the morning teaching from Brother Piers. Exodus chapter 33, it was read, wasn't it? It was read. It really hit me home. Hit me home. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? You know, we know the circumstances. The Israelites had done grievous sin. While Moses was away, they built the golden calf and lied about it. Oh, it suddenly turned into a calf, you know. And they didn't own up to it. God was grieved. Moses was angry. A little while later, I mean, Moses had been within the presence of the Lord. His face shone. His face shone. He'd been in the presence of the Lord. And after a while, Moses, pleading with the Lord, said, okay, my presence shall go with you. But Moses was a shepherd. He was a leader. He was a prophet. He said, I know we've sinned. I know the people have done treacherously. I know they're rebellious. I know they're stiff-necked. They don't deserve your mercy, Lord, but I don't want to go anywhere without your presence, but I don't want to leave these people either without the manifest presence, without you going with us. But you know, the Lord did have mercy. He granted that request. Isn't that wonderful? Friends, we serve the risen Lord, the ascended Lord. He has poured out his Spirit. He desires to be glorified in our midst by a demonstration of his divine power. I know if it's the Lord's will and we're willing, He can bring healing to you, healing to me, even today. You know what the word says? The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Some of you are seeking God's help as you have, as things have been, as it were, exposed to you in the Spirit. And God's not going to leave you. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. Let's come before the Lord now. In this church, we don't hype things up, friends. We allow God, but we need to empty ourselves and come before Him. Contrite, perhaps. Come in faith. Look, let me tell you, friends, I don't know where you are, but without faith, you cannot please God. So the step that you may have to make this morning, to be totally set free from the burdens, the complexities of what has been going on in your life, in your family, in your health, in your work, in your attitudes. That which has held you back. Now God knows, and as we lay it before Him, I know God is willing, He's able, don't doubt it, He's willing, He's able to bring breakthrough and to set you free, to set me free, to bring healing in His wings, to bring forgiveness, to bring wholeness. That which you've held, that where you try to control, manipulate and blame, just bring it to the cross right now and say, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? Who can deliver me? I know one who can. It's Christ, and it's the power of the gospel." That thing which is done in secret, no man knows, not even your loved one. But you know it's pulled you back, it's held you back. And you know the truth, that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And you've tried, and then the love of it has just got a hold of you. But if you are willing, you will be made. If you are willing, God's power will be perfected in you now. So that you'll see that sin, that habit, that addiction. If you've gone onto the internet and you're watching pornography, I want you to see it as God sees it right now. Pure filth and hatred, and it caused Him to die on the cross. You can be set free. Christ is willing. He's able. The Spirit of God is moving among us now. Don't be afraid of the tears, whether tears of regret. God wants them to bring healing and wholeness. If they're tears of happiness, tears of joy, God knows. His Spirit is here. Let the Lord tell you, that you're not beyond the reach of his power. And you may have been feeling, yeah, as God has exposed something to you now, well, I know I've been a hypocrite. I know I've been a hypocrite. But that can be in the past. That can now be buried. God can bring you into that relationship, into that restoration now, which you will experience the fullness of joy. But you've been held back because you've not been real. You've not been real with your pastor. You've not been real with your family. You've not been real, most of all, with the Lord. But now it's being exposed. And it's so that we can walk, you can walk in victory rather than defeat. God's will is not that you walk in defeat. That every time you look at something, lust comes into it. We are all tempted, but when it is taken that step further, it's sin. Sin cannot dwell in his presence. Holiness, dear friends. Holiness. Holiness. God is here. Hallelujah. Amen. Someone who received that, please. That's the word of God. God doesn't do half a work, he does a complete work. Amen. It may take a process, but he does a complete work, and it can be done in an instant.